Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warres.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Cuff.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Finn.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Scott Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
Two of Australia's leading MVPs, presenters, bloggers, and all-round Microsoft tech nerds. Robert Crane. He's an Office 365 MVP and the director of CIA Ops. Mark Keane. He's a Microsoft Azure MVP and an Azure / PowerShell Premier Field Engineer working at Microsoft. All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's the Need to Know podcast, all thanks to Rode Microphones. And brought to you by Ingram Micro Cloud. Streamline the provisioning, billing, and management of your clients' popular cloud business applications, including Microsoft Azure, Office 365, SkyKick, and more, with the Ingram Micro Cloud Marketplace and Cloud Store. Registrations for the Ingram Micro Cloud Summit 2017 across Sydney, Melbourne, and Brisbane are now open at www.ingrammicrocloudsummit.com.au. The Need to Know Podcast. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, NGK Podcast, and online at podcasts.needtoknow.cloud.
Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast. My name is Robert Crane, and for this episode, I've managed to organise a very special guest. Welcome back, Mark Keane.
Hey, Rob, how are you going? And hey, what do you think of the new intro?
Oh, I think it's brilliant. I mean, obviously, you've spent no time on holiday. You've just been locked away in your castle there creating new production value. Is that correct?
That's right. And been drinking lots of scotch because, you know, like my voice gets really, really deep. And that's what I've been doing while I've been on holidays.
I see. All right. So what decided you to take a sea voyage this time?
Yes, you know, I took a sea voyage. On the P&O cruise up the coast of Australia, left Sydney on Saturday, went all the way up to Mooloolaba on the Sunshine Coast, and came back again. We spent a day on the Sunshine Coast and came back. So within the 4 days, up and back, it travels at a rate of 30 kilometres per hour, quite slow. The old saying, slow and steady wins the race. The cruise itself was fantastic. Had bars galore, cabaret shows, theatre, and also too, like, had hair salons, swimming pools, and everything else.
First time on a big boat?
Yep, definitely. First time on a big boat. And tell you what, the boat was beautiful. Had restaurants as well everywhere. The food was fantastic. Oh, and also too, no internet access. And I didn't touch my device or my phone at all.
Oh dear, how did you survive?
Yeah, good question. It was very, very relaxing. I had a great time, but it was very, very tough.
Oh dear, you'll have to get a machine that allows you to play solitaire with batteries by the sound of it.
We could have used our mobile phones. We did have patchy 4G coverage all the way up and down because it was close to the coast. But look, the boat was fantastic. As I said before, everything was on the boat, a mini city, like a massive big shopping mall inside of the boat, many, many different levels. It was wide open. And the shows that they put on, the shows were fantastic, the best ones I've ever seen.
All right. Well, speaking about shows and lots of things to do, what about some Azure news for us?
There's plenty of Azure news, which is interesting because the lead up to Ignite, normally it's a calm before the storm, but it's not that way at all. Lots of Azure news. And Rob, you'll like this one. Azure AD domain services for ARM-based VNets.
Yes, I'm very, 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 very happy to see that that has come to the fore. But let us know what it is.
Well, you may remember back in July, we announced the public preview of Azure AD domain services in the new Azure portal, where you can now create new managed AD domains and perform administrative tasks like configuring secure LDAP. Now there is a public preview of Azure AD domain services support for virtual networks created using Azure Resource Manager. You can now create new managed AD domains in virtual networks that were provisioned with Azure Resource Manager. Azure AD Domain Services provides managed AD domain services like domain join, group policy, LDAP and Kerberos NTLM authentication, and all those services are fully compatible with Windows Server Active Directory. Rob, more details of that in the show notes and in my blog.
Yeah, so just to clarify for a lot of people who may not understand, there is a difference between on-prem AD and Azure AD. Typically, Azure AD only does the identity and the security component, and the local AD does a lot more, like Kerberos group policy and whatnot. So the way to get closer to equivalency is basically to plug in the Azure AD domain services. And we did talk about this, I think, a few episodes ago when we were talking about the migration from the small business server environment. It is not quite comparative. There's a lot more in the local group policy, but again, it gives people the direction, I suppose, or makes it easier for them to migrate to the cloud. But I think we're going to see that there's less and less need for an on-prem AD thanks to this tool now.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the only reason people will have on-prem group policy now these days is for granular or more control over their admin tasks, like because you can install the good old administrative templates with on-prem group policy, and there's administrative templates for pretty much most things.
Yeah, basically you can add in things like Office and you can manage Office use group policy, but one of the big differences now is we're moving to a world that's device centric rather than workstation centric, and we can't add devices to our domains and use them via group policy. So we have to use mobile device management, aka Windows 10 sort of and above, Android, iOS. So again, less and less dependency, I think, on group policy going forward. It's still going to be required for a long time, but all this stuff in the cloud really doesn't live behind four walls anymore or connected to a single blue cable. So now we need to be able to manage those devices wherever they're roaming on the internet, and mobile device management is the way to do it.
And there's going to be less and less need to have an on-prem group policy, because if you think about it, at the end of the day, the requirements you have managing your devices, right? You can meet those same requirements easily with a mix of mobile device manager, Intune, or Azure AD domain services, or all three, or one of the above. I mean, at the end of the day, all three of the services in the cloud all work beautifully together, and they complement each other beautifully.
Well, I think depending, I mean, a lot of people probably still have some of the older controls, printers, and that may need group policy, but you're right. In the long run, the typical networks I'm seeing aren't very dependent on group policy, or they have very simplistic group policy, which can be easily replaced. The only reason that you would need to retain that basically is you have some complex need around group policy, which is pretty rare. So you're right. I think we're basically on the road to a situation where, especially in the small business world, there's no need to really have a domain controller, let alone a server on-prem anymore.
So you might remember like a few episodes ago, Rob, as we talked about, we did a show, a couple of episodes on migrating small businesses to the cloud and using the services of Azure. And so with this, there is not really any really need to have an on-prem domain controller anymore. So part of that would be to shut down the domain controller completely, decommission it, and just make use of Azure AD with domain services.
True, but part of the issue is also the learning. And this is, again, why the IT pro of the future really is looking to make sure that they are skilling up in things like Intune and the mobile device management that comes with Office 365. Still, group policy will apply, but it's, you know, time to add some additional capabilities in around these mobile device management, which give you some really cool options. So the ability, for example, to prevent corporate data being sent to consumer data, really powerful stuff. So, and we're seeing this bundled together in the Microsoft 365 product. So we get Office 365, Windows 10, and the information protection arm and Intune. So this is the direction that it's moving. So basically, yeah, we certainly encourage people to have a look at that and get on board with the mobile device management world.
On the subject of Azure Active Directory, let's go back to my next news article, Dynamic Group Membership in Azure AD. So one of my favorite new features in Azure Active Directory is Dynamic Group Membership. There are different types of dynamic groups that you can create: assigned, dynamic device, dynamic user. And then all you do is select Add Dynamic Query, where you can create a simple or advanced rule. You can create dynamic groups, then assign these groups to applications and licenses. If a user or device satisfies a rule on a group, they are added as a member of that group. For example, all users, local Active Directory and Azure Active Directory who have a city property defined as Sydney. So Rob, you know in Active Directory, the user object has properties and the city property.
Yep.
Yeah, so if that's defined as, say, Sydney, then the user will automatically be added to this particular group. This feature, Dynamic Groups, requires an Azure AD Premium P1 license for each user member added to at least one dynamic group. We'll put more info to that in the show notes with a link in my blog.
Excellent. All right. Let me throw some Office 365 stuff at you. We're getting a new and improved version of the Yammer app on the iPad, which is going to make it easier to work with that app and be social inside the enterprise. So if you have that app already, it will be updated. If not, go and download it from your favorite iOS app store.
Hey, Rob.
Yep.
So the apps, the Yammer app for the iPad, look, I must admit, it's a good app, right? So I've got an iPad, plus I've got an iPhone as well, and there's a Yammer app for the iOS device, which is the iPhone. So there's different apps for iPad and different apps for iPhone. There's not one app for all of these different devices.
Of course, like every device, all devices have a different footprint and, again, have different stores. So we don't see that consistency across that environment. And unfortunately, it makes it a bit tough.
Can't they make use of something like universal apps to make it the same?
Yeah, but it's a different ecosystem. It's come from a different background and the competitor generally is the Android stuff. So, again, I think it depends. Different people like tablets. Some people like their devices. I think that in the long run, the tablets are probably going to be a very minimal part of the market as the phones get bigger and bigger and become phablets. So I think there's going to be sort of a happy medium in between. But again, there are apps for both platforms. I like the iPad because it's much easier to use. Fat fingers seem to work better on a large screen. So that will be my preference for sure. But certainly acknowledge that a lot of people are still using the very small devices.
Hey, Rob, don't you think Apple will eventually go down the Microsoft route and have what's called universal apps? So it means that one app you write, it works beautifully on pretty much any size of device, big or small.
I can't see that. I'm not an Apple person, but my gut feeling is no, we won't see that.
All right, Rob, what other Office 365 news have you got?
We've got that the secure score. So Microsoft has basically a site that allows you to determine the security rating of your Office 365 tenant. Before, you had to go to a separate website to run this across your tenant, but now that has been integrated directly into the Security and Compliance Center. So if you want to get an idea of how secure your tenant is and perhaps what you need to do to turn additional features on to make it more secure, have a look for Secure Score in your Security and Compliance Center. And as always, we'll put the link to the show notes so that you can refer to that. And the third one I've got here is that email notifications in Microsoft Forms are now being built in. So that means that when someone submits a form, you can tick a box and it will let you know via email that someone has made a submission. You can always do that using Microsoft Flow as well, but this is much easier. You just do it inside Forms, tick a box, and you'll get an email notification when somebody completes their end of the web form. So what else have we got in Azure?
New performance levels and storage add-ons in Azure SQL Database. Changes to the Azure SQL standard tiers. Previously, the highest performance level for a single database in the standard tier was limited to 100 DTUs. Now, this increases by 30 times to 3,000 DTUs with a range of new choices in between. These new S4 to S12 performance levels provide price savings opportunities for CPU-intensive workloads that do not demand the kind of high I/O performance provided by the premium tier. For I/O-intensive workloads, the premium tier continues to provide lower latency per I/O and more IOPS per DTU than the standard tier. So, storage add-ons as well for single databases and elastic pools. Previously, the storage size limit was a fixed amount based on the service tier and performance level. Customers can now purchase extra storage above this included amount for single databases and elastic pools in the standard and premium tiers. The decoupling of storage from compute reduces costs by allowing more storage without having to increase DTUs or eDTUs. Storage provisioned above the included amount is charged and billed on an hourly basis. Storage for a single database or elastic pool can be provisioned in increments of 250 gigabytes up to 1 terabyte, and then in increments of 256 gigabytes beyond 1 terabyte. And we will stick a link to that to my blog in the show notes. And of course, my blog has all the latest Azure news as we read it on the Need to Know podcast.
Cool. All right. So some more Office 365 stuff here. We've got that SharePoint document libraries now support Flow. So what that means is that you can use Flow to dive deeper into the SharePoint document libraries to complete automation tasks. So you may choose to move a document, flag a document, add a field, do all sorts of things. So Flow now gives you that ability to reach into document libraries and begin to automate those.
And Rob, you can make use of Azure Event Grid, which we talked about on the last podcast.
Yeah.
So basically, you can make use of Azure Event Grid to proactively send alerts from Azure to Flow or anything else, and you can automate SharePoint tasks.
Lots of things that it can do. It can also fire off something to send you an abusive email as well if you want. So lots of options there, lots of automation options all the way through the stack, which is really good. The new communication sites from SharePoint are now also available in the mobile app. So communication sites are the new visually stunning, as Microsoft would say, way to deploy your SharePoint intranet sites, and those are now available directly in the mobile app. So you'll get a pretty looking website, not only on your browser on your desktop, but also on your mobile app, because that's so important these days. There is a slight change to the way that SharePoint and OneDrive are sharing files with people. So there was a sharing option that you would have to put in someone's email address, a couple of extra clicks. So Microsoft has removed one or two of those clicks to make the sharing process much easier when you want to share it with a specific person. So it will ask you once for their email address, and then you'll take you through a reduced set of steps. So not a huge change, but it does reduce the number of clicks, which means we can start sharing out information quicker and easier from both SharePoint and OneDrive for Business. And we've also got a new group calendar web part. So we've seen the interface change in SharePoint from what they call the classic, the old mode, to the new modern UI interface. And unfortunately, until today or till recently, the calendar was still locked back in the classic days. But now Microsoft has come to the party and given us a modern calendar app that we can now embed in our modern pages. So one of the very common things I see is the desire for people to have the calendar on the front page of their intranet, and that wasn't possible with the new modern style interfaces if you went that way in SharePoint. But now, thankfully, the app is web part is now available. We can embed that in our pages. What else on the Azure side, Mark?
Okay, announcing default encryption for Azure Blobs, Files, Table, and Queue Storage. For most customers, security is not only the most important, but also a massive deciding factor in choosing a public cloud provider. Customers require their data to be encrypted at rest as per their security and compliance needs. The Azure Storage team takes security and privacy seriously and help protect your data. Currently, there is Storage Service Encryption, SSE for short, for Azure Blob Storage and File Storage using Microsoft Managed Keys or Customer Managed Keys for Azure Blob Storage. Now, the Azure Storage team are taking security one step further by enabling encryption by default using Microsoft Managed Keys for all data written to Azure services, which includes Blob, File, Table, and Queue Storage. For all storage accounts in both the Azure Resource Manager and Classic Storage accounts, also for both new and existing storage accounts as well. So Storage Service Encryption for managed disks, including import scenario, will also be supported. All data that is written into Azure Storage will be automatically encrypted by the storage service prior to persisting and decrypted prior to retrieval. Encryption and decryption are automatically transparent to the user. All data is encrypted using 256-bit AES encryption, one of the strongest block ciphers available today. With encryption enabled by default, customers do not have to make any changes to their current applications. To verify encryption is enabled for storage accounts, customers can either query the status of encrypted data for blobs and file, or check account properties. There is neither any additional charge nor any performance degradation using this feature. So, Rob, this is a great move on Microsoft's behalf because, you know what, in the world of the cloud and internet, let's face it, the internet is a bad place and you can't tick as many boxes to be secure. This is one step further to make the cloud even more secure than what it was before.
No, I think, and it's a good indication here that we need to have data encrypted at rest. So Office 365 has that for SharePoint and for Exchange. So doing that in Azure by default. I also like the ability to have customers bring their own keys. I'm not a fan of it, but at least there is that possibility if the Tinfoil Hat Brigade really want to bring their own encryption keys into the environment, gives them the peace of mind to know that they're the only ones that can get to their data. But I think, again, having everything encrypted at rest makes a lot of sense. And again, hopefully it's going to be a big differentiation point for Microsoft in the current environment.
I mean, the good thing is it just works seamlessly with Microsoft managed keys. You don't even have to worry about anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the long run we'll see it on all across everything. But one of the objections, I suppose, or one of the points raised by people that I speak to is, I want to bring my own key because I don't trust Microsoft. You know, they could give their key to the US government. They could get my data. So in this case, the answer is, well, if you want to, you can bring your own key. But if you do, guess what? You've got to manage it. If you stuff it up or lose it, well, then you're not going to be able to cover anything because it's your responsibility.
The good old trust situation with customers. What to tell customers and what to respond to when they say, oh, no, you know what? I can't trust Microsoft. Scary. But you know what? One of the guys at Microsoft I was talking to, this is his response when a customer says to him, oh, look, I can't trust Microsoft. He goes, well, you know what? You're already trusting Microsoft now and you don't even know it. So every single time you install a service pack, do you read every single change a service pack does? No, you don't. You trust to install the service pack and it just works.
Oh, I think that, again, you're right. You're 100% right. But at the end of the day, Microsoft is smart to be able to allow people to bring their own keys. It just defeats that argument. It says, well, yes, if you want, you bring your own keys, job done, and it's not our responsibility. And it's probably a very small...
It's a bit like customer lockbox with Office 365.
Correct. But it's a lot more sophisticated than that. But yes, I think it gives people that assurance that they can be in total control of their data. But obviously, with great power comes great responsibility. So if you do want to do that, make sure that you look after your data and your keys and all that and don't lose them. Because if you do lose them or make a misconfiguration, there's no returning from it. You just get a white noise lot of data. So again, there are pluses and minuses to more security if you want to manage yourself. And I think most people, the vast majority of people, are happy with Microsoft to do it. And yep, exactly. It'll be done much better, much quicker. But the option's there if people need it.
Yeah, using your own keys to encrypt your data or Microsoft managed keys, use Microsoft managed keys all the way. It makes life much, much easier. You can definitely trust Microsoft. I mean, let's face it, they're not interested in abusing their trust. Because think about it, if they abuse trust with one customer, that would be leaked out to the media. And what would happen then? Of course, no one will ever, ever trust Microsoft ever again. It takes ages to gain trust back, and Microsoft's not going to do that.
Yeah, that's why we've let you back on the podcast, no doubt. So, no, you're right. I think Microsoft, like I said, and I think all providers will do this as well because, again, you know, we are beginning to see an aggregation of data and it's important that it is kept as secure as possible and these are the technologies that everybody should be using on their devices. So you should have all your phones, all your devices encrypted, laptops, everything to make sure that if those devices go missing or are stolen, that the information is not retrieved. So I certainly recommend that to anybody. Make sure their devices, especially their phones, are fully encrypted.
So, Rob, you might remember we spoke about this a little while ago offline in relation to me having a close call with a USB drive, thumb drive, which I misplaced. I thought I left it somewhere. It had all my startup business data on it, which couldn't be leaked out. It was pretty high sensitive data. Now, it was a USB drive. You know what? It's a brand new drive. I'll BitLocker it. I'll get to it eventually and put encryption on. But because I had this close call, I actually found it after all. It was actually downstairs under the house, this USB drive. Now that I've actually found it, I had a close call. It's good wake-up call to know that, you know, like, you've got to really turn on BitLocker. Don't think, oh, I'll do it tomorrow or the next day. Do it now.
Excellent. All right, another plus one for more security on Mark's USB drive. So if you've got a USB drive Mark's given you, at the moment, you're probably lucky that it's unencrypted, so make sure you go through that and steal all the information before giving it back to him.
Haha, not going to happen. I'm smarter now. Everything's encrypted.
Well, that's what you think. They will be when you get them back. All right, so let's talk about the Office 365 feature that Microsoft has enabled. Forms now in the app launcher. So Microsoft Forms has come to the commercial customers of late. You had to navigate to that via forms.microsoft.com, but now they've integrated into the app launcher. You'll see it on the homepage of Office 365, and you'll also see it in the little waffle or the nine dots in the top left-hand corner there to allow you to easily get to forms and create surveys and questionnaires. Now, one of the other things that I've noted recently that Microsoft has announced, actually today, I believe, or yesterday, is that the Windows 10 Fall Creators Update rollout will kick off from October 17. So if you want the latest, then what does the Fall Creators Update give you, Marky Marky? What does it give you?
It gives me what I've been waiting for a long, long time.
What's the...
The OneDrive sync client.
Which is called OneDrive On Demand. So that is correct. So the Fall Creators Update will allow you to basically have your OneDrive synced and your SharePoint library synced on demand, which only will download the required files when you select them. The other thing that Windows 10 brings is a lot more the Defender integration, as well as the Windows 10 Autopilot, which allows you to deploy Windows 10 machines across the internet. So looking forward to getting my hands on that and playing with the Autopilot stuff as well. So October the 17th, from that point on, they'll be rolling out. So we'll be doing a regular refresh on our settings to make sure the updates come down as fast as possible.
Perfect timing, I'm thinking, for the lead up of a large event.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And it'll be between, obviously, just after the Ignite, which we're looking forward to, I think, in the end of September there for a couple of days. We're talking about doing maybe a special episode, live episode maybe for that. We'll see how we go, if we can arrange that. And we'll get some commentary on all the stuff that's coming out of Ignite, because we're expecting a lot of announcements, and I'm sure that Mark would love to be able to give some commentary on what Mark Rusinovich will be talking about.
And speaking of new stuff coming out, new Azure portal changes, Rob. There are some new Azure portal changes happening. All new upcoming changes can be experienced and seen by going to this link here, which is public. Rob, the normal URL that people can go to is portal.azure.com. That's the portal to go to manage your Azure environment. However, do you know, Rob, what the preview site is?
Preview.portal.azure.com.
That's correct. Preview.portal.azure.com. Stick the word preview in front of it and you are there. It's basically a staging site, which is a couple of weeks in the future. So some keyboard shortcuts listed as well, some shortcuts that you might not have known, G/ or G-whack or G/ on the keyboard. It sets a focus at the top of the screen in the search box. Now, a lot of customers that I speak to don't even realize the search box is there right in front of them at the top. They use a menu system on the left-hand side. But you know what? If you use that search box, it's very, very handy. It does real-time search as you're typing characters in, and it brings up stuff very, very fast. And the good thing is, too, it knows what you've used or what you've accessed previously as a history and brings those history items up the top of the search results. Also on popular demand is the All Resources section. You can now select columns such as tags to group or you can sort by tags. You can also add tags to resources or multiple resources in the same All Resources section. They have also added the ability to multi-select items in the portal by selecting the check boxes on the left-hand side of the resources. Great addition that was. Also, by using the custom template option in the portal, you can search directly within GitHub for Azure ARM templates and edit the JSON template from within the portal visually by viewing the JSON outline just like you would in Visual Studio. So it's exactly the same. So you see on the left-hand side, you see at the top, parameters, then you've got variables, then you've got resources. It's like a cut down version of Visual Studio right there in the portal. It's awesome stuff.
Yeah, I think that's the go. I think it's a lot of good stuff there. Anything, is that getting towards the end of your Azure stuff? You got anything up your sleeve there still?
No, that's about it, and expect more news coming up very, very shortly. However, the lead up to Ignite, I would expect that the storm might calm down a bit with the news, because it's a calm before the storm, before the big event.
All right, so before the storm breaks, how can people get in contact with you?
Lots of people contact me all the time on Twitter, at Mark Keane, which is M-A-R-C-K-E-A-N, or we've got the Need to Know Twitter handle, which is at N2K Podcast.
Excellent. And you can also reach me via Twitter at DirectorCIA, and also via the email feedback at needtoknow.cloud. So lots of ways you can get in contact with us. Let us know what sort of topics or personalities and people you'd like us to cover in upcoming episodes. We'll work hard to make that a reality. We'll try and get some more people on here, especially around the Ignite timeframe, and get some information for you. But we can also look forward, as Mark says, to the big Microsoft event coming in November in Sydney. So that's quite a few days to work through, so that'll be really good. Anything else from you, Mark?
Yeah, I've got an opportunity with somebody from Microsoft to come on to talk about Office 365 hybrid. So I'm just wondering if our listeners would like to hear about Office 365 hybrid on the podcast, maybe.
Excellent. All right. Well, I think we'd probably worthwhile teeing them up. It's always good to hear the variety, and I think we've covered a lot of ground, and we did the developer thing recently, so maybe a hands-on IaaS hybrid would be really good. So, yeah, put the feelers out and get them on, I'd suggest, is what everybody's going to say.
All right, then. I will try and organize it for the next episode.
Excellent. All right. Well, if there's nothing else from you, there's nothing else from me, I think we'll call an end to this episode of the Need to Know podcast.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact. This podcast is voiced and produced by me, Mark Keane.